following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson of KIIC in Albia and Jacob Hall with the Iowa Standard in Sioux Center. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, again, thank you for allowing us to participate in this Capitol Hill report. I appreciate your access. I guess all the news is, of course, the situation with Iran. Now, I see where House Speaker Pelosi says that the House will trigger War Powers Resolution to limit Trump's retaliation. How might that unfold, and can you dwell into that a little bit?
I think, first of all, we've been at war with Iran since the Islamic Revolution of 1979, and we've seen what damage they can do to our embassies in East Africa, what they've done through Hezbollah to kill Marines in Lebanon, what they have done killing an American very recently here. So the president's job under the Constitution is to protect the American people, and I think that people would expect him to do that. If he's been involved in killing 600 American soldiers in Iraq, how many more Americans would we wait for to kill if you wanted to let him live? And I haven't been briefed until Wednesday afternoon, so I don't know the exact intelligence behind it. But if we're worried about what he did and whether or not there was an imminent threat to lives of Americans, and the general got away with killing several Americans, I'm sure he'd be criticized because he didn't do anything. So under the War Powers Act, the president has the authority to take the action he took. So if the War Powers Act ought to be reformed, or if other congressional approval of the president to use military power certain things ought to be done, if people feel that ought to be changed, I'm willing to enter that debate. But I'm not willing to say that the president has done anything wrong at this point. Now, maybe after I get my intelligence briefing, I will change my mind. But right now, that's my point. Jacob?
Yeah, thanks, Senator. I know that you were one of the more than 200 Republicans to sign on a legal brief urging the Supreme Court to weigh in on Roe versus Wade. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there is a case before the Supreme Court involving Louisiana law, and I'm in support of that case and upholding the Louisiana law. The Louisiana law doesn't do away with Roe v. Wade, and we're not asking the court to change their mind on Roe v. Wade. We're just asking for the court to give states leeway within Roe v. Wade to make sure that abortions are limited, and that they're safe abortions. Tom Williamson.
Senator, talk a little bit about the Levy Act and how that could have helped the tiny town of Hamburg in southwest Iowa.
Well, what we got to do here is it's just not the Levy Act. There's a lot of things that we got to do with the operation of the Corps of Engineers and how they run the Missouri River. And I don't think any laws have to be changed. It kind of came out this way in April when I was in Missouri Valley talking to farmers about the Missouri River situation. And one of the farmers gave a very common sense suggestion to me. Under the 1964 regulations, until those regulations were changed in the 1990s, we didn't have much flooding. Since then, we've had all kinds of flooding. And what has been the difference? Under the 1964 manual, the number one responsibility of the Corps was flood control. Now they got flood control mixed up with five or six different things. And we got to get the Corps back, basically, to doing what was set up when these dams were set up, to protect flooding on the Missouri River. So we can talk about laws that exist or laws that need to be passed, but carrying out the original intent of the purpose of the dams on the Missouri River is what needs to be done. Jacob?
Yes, Senator, I know, I believe it's tomorrow you have a hearing on the USMCA. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what you expect tomorrow.
Yeah. It goes way beyond a hearing, although the extent to which we're going to have administration people there, I suppose some people could refer to it as a hearing, but it's actual markup to let members speak their minds on it and then vote the bill out of committee and get it ready for the Senate floor. It's really that simple. I do expect it to get out of committee. And there's a few other committees involved. Normally, those committees don't have primary jurisdiction like my committee does. And hopefully, they don't take a long time to make a decision that they ought to do what the Finance Committee is going to do. But with or without their actions being done quick, if we don't have impeachment up next week in the United States Senate, I expect that we will pass USMCA within 10 days. And if we do have impeachment up, then I expect it's going to be put off till after impeachment, which could put it into the end of this month. Tom Williamson.
Tell us about the Prescription Drug Pricing Reduction Act of 2019. I know you were quite influential in that, but I also heard that the big pharmaceuticals raised prices on about 200 prescriptions week or so. What's the story there?
Well, let me tell you, between what you said about what pharmaceutical companies are doing, of raising them between 5.5% and 10.5%, they would be limited to what the inflation rate was, which let's say roughly 2% for the last 12 months. If they raise their prices more than 2%, they would have to pay the money back to the Federal Treasury. So the idea is two things. One, to have price increases slower than what they have been within the inflation rate. On Medicare, that saves the taxpayers money, but it will also save consumers that pay and insurance companies that pay other than Medicare. It will save them money. So this bill generally was voted out of committee in a bipartisan way, 19-9 in July. And it's one that can get through both the House and Senate, whereas a bill that passed the House of Representatives would never get 60 votes in the United States Senate. So a very bipartisan bill, saving the taxpayers $100 billion, lowers the Medicare out-of-pocket cost and would even lower premiums, would lower the cost to the commercial market. It would cap out-of-pocket costs, giving people peace of mind, in other words, keeping price increases within the inflation rate. It increases transparency. It maintains market forces, reduces taxpayer subsidies. It is not price control, as the pharmaceutical companies are telling you through their paid ads. And it's the first bipartisan entitlement reform of Medicare in a generation. It's endorsed by the AARP, the libertarian think tank Cato, conservative economists, and organizations, a lot of organizations. It makes farmer and other middlemen like pharmacy benefit managers accountable to taxpayers, making their negotiations more transparent. And there's a lot of other things it does, but I'll stop there. Jacob, you're going to get the last question.
Okay, I wanted to go back to the Iran situation, and I just wanted to have you talk a little bit. You've had a lot of experience in your time, you know, serving the state and the Senate with these different foreign conflicts. How important is it for, you know, no matter what happens, the country to kind of band together behind whatever decision the president ends up making and kind of be more united when it comes to things like this?
You mean within the Congress and the American people?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I'll give you a short answer. If you want a longer answer, break in. But until maybe 20 years ago, ever since World War II, the philosophy on foreign affairs is that politics ends at the shoreline. Well, for sure, in the last 20 years or 25 years, there's been a lot of bipartisanship. And I think it weakens our position in international leadership.
Thank you, Tom and Jacob, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.